नमः ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्यते शतारिणे हरि बोल। Very happy to have this great fortune of being with all of you on the holy event of Gita Jayanti. Thank you very much for coming. According to our tradition, it is this day, Moksha Ekadasi, that Lord Krishna personally spoke the Bhagavad Gita through Arjuna to the entire world for all time to come. Bhagavad Gita, sometimes called Gita-upanishad, has been accepted by the great acharyas of almost every school or sampradaya of Vedic thought as the very summary study and essence of all the knowledge of the Vedas. The setting in which Krishna chose to reveal the Gita to the world is most significant to understand. Krishna could have spoke the Gita in a hermitage in the Himalayan mountains, in a peaceful, silent forest where there were many pure-hearted yogis and sages who assembled to hear after performing kirtan and doing meditation. But Krishna selected a different venue, Kurukshetra, which is Kurukshetra, Dharmakshetra, Kurukshetra, the first verse of Gita. Kurukshetra is historically, from most ancient times, a place for holy ceremonies, like what we are doing today, the yajna. Kurukshetra is a place where kings and sages and rishis would come together to invoke the blessings of the Supreme Lord on themselves, their families, and on all of human society. But on this occasion, there was a world war that was about to begin, with millions of warriors on each side, with their weapons facing each other. Those were the days where you really had to be a warrior to fight. Wasn't like guerrilla combat and airplanes dropping bombs. You were face to face with your opponents. There were no guns. The strength of your arms, of how you could fast and hard you could shoot your arrows or use your club was what was dependent on your survival. So these two armies facing each other. Arjuna requested Krishna, Partha Sarathi, to bring the chariot between the two armies so that he could see who had come. Krishna tell Duryodhana and Arjuna, I will give one side a whole phalanx or division of my army. And on the other side, I will come. But I promise I will not lift a weapon or fight. Duryodhana, his thinking was, what do I need Krishna for if he's not going to fight? I'll take your armies who will fight. And Arjuna was very happy. I don't need armies. All I need is Krishna's blessings. This was the difference between the two. Krishna decided to make his role in this battle the charioteer of Arjuna, just following the orders of his devotee. Bring my chariot here. Krishna would do. So the first direction Arjuna gave Krishna, bring the chariot between the armies. Krishna said, behold and see who has come. Arjuna was torn between what is to be done and what is not to be done. What is my duty? What is the right thing? On one side were grandfathers, his teachers, his relatives, and on the other sides were his brothers and his well-wishers. Arjuna was a man of great culture. He wanted nothing for himself. He only wanted to establish Dharma in a spirit of compassion to humanity. And he was bewildered. That's how Bhagavad Gita begins, where Arjuna, his complexion turns white. Tears are flowing from his eyes. His hairs are standing on end. His limbs are trembling. Mouth is dry. He became so weak that the weight of the Gandiva bow fell from his hand. And he said, Krishna, I cannot fight. Karpanya doso bahatasva bharma. I am bewildered, confused, feeling anguished by this condition. I do not know what's to be done. Now I am your disciple. Please instruct me. Krishna smiled because he understood that now Arjuna, his heart was actually open to receive knowledge. Knowledge is like a seed. When the knowledge is planted in the heart, then through our spiritual practices and through the character of our life, we water that seed and make it grow into a beautiful sprout, and then a tree, and then the fruits of liberation, of suffering, and love of God, and compassion for all beings can actually manifest. But you see, the field of the heart has to be fertile in order for that seed, even if it's a perfect seed, to actually take root. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. In order for our heart to be receptive, there has to be a sense of urgency. And there has to be a sense of humility and gratitude. As long as we think I know, then our heart is hard. Our heart is hard. But when we realize we need help from the higher power of God's grace, then actually the seed can take root. That's why Krishna smiled. Yes, Arjuna, you're in a humble position. You realize that that the problems of this world are beyond you. And you're crying out, not as a formality, not as a ritual, but as an urgent need, you're crying out for help. Yes, now what I speak, you will understand. In the 7th chapter, 14th verse of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mam evaya prapadyante mayam eta tarantite. Kind of sums up the situation that Arjuna was in, and it sums up the situation everyone is in within this world. Krishna really didn't need to speak to Arjuna. He was already a perfect soul. Krishna put him in his delusion so that Krishna could, in a dynamic, dramatic, exciting, and interesting way, speak to the whole world for all time to come. This verse tells that the divine energy of mine within this material existence, which consists of three modes, sattva-guna, raja-guna, tamaguna, goodness, passion, and ignorance, it is very difficult to overcome. Mayadhyakshena prakriti, this maya is very, very strong. But Krishna says, but one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. That is what Arjuna did. He took shelter. The Kuru side led by Duryodhana was the personification very much of the dark side of human nature. And Yudhisthira on the other side was the personification of the goodness of human nature. Duryodhana was envious. He was greedy. He was cruel and hateful. He would do anything to justify fulfilling his selfish ambitions. Bhagavad Gita is especially relevant every moment, every day for eternity. But it's especially, especially relevant in today's world. In America, there's these demonstrations against Wall Street. You have seen that in the news. Tens and thousands of people in so many of the major cities are having serious demonstrations where the police have to break them up, peaceful demonstrations, against the greed and the exploitation and the corruption of many of the big corporations and financiers who very much influence the government. Here in India, that one Maharashtrian gentleman was fasting, and that was the top front page news in America. I was there at the time. In America, they're more concerned about that man fasting than who wins the cricket games here in India. Against corruption. And in the Middle East, there are demonstrations overthrowing long-lasting governments because of greed. Well, this is what Bhagavad Gita is challenging, because Bhagavad Gita explains that on a collective level, this is happening in the world, But the source of that is within the human heart. The divine nature and the demoniac nature. This is one chapter of the Gita. It's within both of us. It's within all of us. The good dog and the bad dog. Both are barking for attention. Usually the good dog is the bad dog demanding our attention, invoking greed and envy. No self-satisfaction. Yes, Duryodhana, he had so much. But Krishna tells in the Gita, the nature of material acquisition or desire is it burns like fire. The more fuel you give it, the more it needs. You can never be satisfied by things. A cultured society uses things and loves people. But a misdirected society loves things and uses people. And that's basically what all these demonstrations and discontents are about in the world today, everywhere. Yudhisthira was willing to sacrifice anything to offer respect and honor to others and to live by Dharma. And Duryodhana was willing to do anything and everything to satisfy his greed. He envied the Pandavas because of their good qualities. He was absolutely arrogant about whatever he had, and he wanted everything and more. Power, prestige, wealth, land, fame. And ultimately, there was the battle between good and evil, between the divine and the demoniac. And Duryodhana saw everything from a material perception. This is how I'm going to win, and this is how I'm going to achieve what I need. And Yudhisthira and Arjuna, the Pandavas, they were seeing things from a spiritual perspective. All we need is Krishna's grace. If Krishna's with us, there's nothing that could challenge us. But at the same time, they worked just as hard as Duryodhana. They managed and organized just as much as Duryodhana. But one believed that these material arrangements would be the cause of the result. And the Pandavas understood it's the grace of God that is going to be the cause of the result. We just have to do our duty and do it well. So yes, this negative side of material existence of envy and lust and anger and arrogance, greed, illusion, is very strong. Krishna says it's impossible to overcome. But one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond it. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains the obstacles toward real happiness in this material existence are like an ocean. But one who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord, Murari, that ocean is reduced to the amount of water contained in the hoof print of a tiny little calf. The nature of this whole material creation, the Gita explains, Abrahma Bhuvanarloka Punar Avartunarjuna. It's a place where there's so many frailties, vulnerabilities, and sufferings. Whoever we are, whatever we have, apuryamanam achala pratishtam, But when we take shelter of the Lord and find the peace, the love of God within our hearts, then that love is like an insurmountable ocean, which empowers us to overcome all obstacles and be happy and give happiness. Dukalayam ashashvatam. This nature is created in such a way that eventually our intelligence will tell us we need shelter. And yes, Krishna speaks in the Gita scientifically, philosophically, logically, on all the main subjects of jnana. Ishvara, who is the absolute supreme controller of all controllers, or God, Bhagavan. Brahman Paramatma, Bhagavan. And who are we, the jiva? What is our nature? Eternally subordinate either to the material or spiritual nature. And the jiva within material creation, how is it living within prakriti, or this material existence? And how are we affected by time? Time is so mystical. You can't see it, you can't feel it, you can't touch it, you can't taste it, but it's at all times destroying everything. It's going to burn out the sun, dry up the oceans, and make all the planets into powder. The power of time. And within that time, within material nature, there are certain laws called karma, action and reaction. So Krishna discusses these five subjects very, very profoundly in order to give us direction of how we can actually find true happiness beyond birth and beyond death, to realize the eternal soul and our relationship with God, with Krishna. And Krishna concludes the Gita, sarva dharman purityasya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha yishyami bhatsucha. The supreme dharma is to surrender, like Arjuna, to the Supreme Lord. And that surrender is exhibited by Arjuna by simply opening our hearts to hear the truth, and then the willingness to live the truth. Arjuna was not a swami. He was a married man with children. Arjuna was not a Brahmin. He was a warrior. Krishna wanted to show whoever we are, whether we're in business, whether we're engineers, whether we're mothers or teachers or students, whether we're politicians, farmers, or if we're swamis, whatever we may be, are, whoever, if we just take this basic principle of understanding that I am the eternal soul, and my nature is to love God and to serve Krishna and to take shelter in such a way that we could overcome the dualities and the obstacles in our everyday life and achieve the ultimate perfection. Yes, Bhagavad Gita was staged in such a way that everyone and anyone, in whatever position we're in, there is a very practical and real way of living by which we can attain eternal fulfillment and eternal love for Krishna and do something incredibly wonderful for our families and for the world. My beloved Gurudev Srila Prabhupada he took this Bhagavad Gita to the whole world. When he first came to America, you know the story, he was 70 years old on a cargo ship, heart attacks and seasickness. He arrived and eventually came to a very, very poor district of New York City. And he had no followers. Some people got him a little storefront by which he could, you know, have some classes, but there were no followers. And one day he happened to see one devotee, Hayagriva. His name was Howard Wheeler. He met him on the street. Howard Wheeler ran up to him and said, "Are you from India?" And Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Are you coming from India?" And Prabhupada said, "Yes, are you?" He's an American man. But the fact is, he did just come from India. He was looking for a guru, but didn't find one. And here he was in the Lower East Side of New York, and he ran into the Swami. And Swami said, "Can I just show you where I am and come for my classes?" And Hayagriva came. And Hayagriva told him that he was an English professor. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Would you like to edit some things for me?" And Hayagriva said, "Oh, I'd be honored to, Swami." First time they met, he said, "Come to my room next time you come." Came to his, he was expecting a few pieces of paper. Srila Prabhupada took out one stack of papers about this high. Hundreds, about 1,000 pages, thousands of pages. And they were wrapped with rope. And he put it on the desk and said, "Could you start with this?" It was the Bhagavad Gita. And he was shocked. He didn't know what to say. And then Prabhupada opened trunks. He said, "When you finish this, I have all these too." That was the Bhagavad Gita, as it is. Srila Prabhupada had such a compassion to give this great message of the Gita to the whole world. And the reality is literally tens and thousands, hundreds and thousands, perhaps millions of people all over the world in probably 100 languages have actually transformed their lives to live by the teachings of the Gita. Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna himself, who came in this Kali Yuga to show us how we could practically apply this Gita to our life as Arjuna did in today's world. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimnam namaskaru. Krishna tells, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. And Lord Chaitanya explained, when we think of Krishna, we become purified because Krishna is all pure. And the simple way by which all of us, any of us, could always think of Krishna is to remember and chant his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So our beloved Gurudev, on behalf of a whole parampara of saints, gave this simple formula. Here's the knowledge in the Gita. Here's Krishna personally and directly in the holy name. And if we have the association of devotees, sadhu sangam, satsang, that will give us the strength, the community, and the intimacy that we need to actually apply these principles to our daily life and live with character, live with integrity, and actually be instruments of love, love for Krishna. Things will never make us happy. Love for God and service to others in this world, that is where our true happiness is. And this is a simple overview of Bhagavad Gita. And I am so grateful to all of you for being here today to do this beautiful yajna, to help invoke blessings for the grace of the Gita to spread throughout Bombay and Maharashtra and India and throughout Earth planet and throughout the universe and throughout the cosmic manifestation. That's what you'll be doing today. One little seed can have such an impact on the whole creation when it's offered with sincere devotion. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna, so we will now be starting the yajna.